Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 15. The book of Exodus, chapter number 15. Tomorrow, as you know, is Memorial Day. It's a day that we set aside to remember those who have died in fighting for the freedoms in this nation. We set it aside as a day to remember because I think we have a tendency to forget. We have forgotten as a nation the goodness of God. We've forgotten what God has done to deliver us. And to help us, we were, and I want to still be, a Christian nation, regardless of what some may say. We do have a tendency to forget, and though this isn't necessarily a message this morning on Memorial Day, I do want to encourage you when it comes to this matter of remembering and when it comes to this matter of praising God and being thankful for the things that God has done and is doing. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that unthankfulness is a sign of the last days. We read over and over in the Word of God, I think of the passage in Psalm 107, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men." God is good. The Scripture tells us God inhabits the praises of His people. Exodus 15 is a song of praise. It is a song of praise to God written by Moses, and I really think sung, obviously, by the people. Moses was really the leader of this song, and it is really a song of praise for what God did in delivering them from the Egyptians and getting them through the Red Sea on dry ground. I want to stop and say this. I think sometimes in our lives we can be challenged with this matter of being grateful. We pray, we ask God, we're sometimes ungrateful for one another, but we pray, we ask God to do something, we ask God to work, and sometimes we don't stop and say, "God, thank you." The Bible says God daily loads us with benefits, which means on a day-by-day basis, God bestows His goodness to you and to me. Yet sometimes our days can be full of grumbling, complaining, negativity, thinking that we have it bad and we have this and that and the other. And I'll tell you this, if you're saved here today, and we're going to look at this in just a minute, if you're saved here today, you have a whole lot to rejoice about. I mean, the fact of the matter is, because we live in America, you have a whole lot to be thankful for and to rejoice with. I thought about titling this message. Ernie, I'll give you the title at the end, all right? At the end of these ideas, I thought about entitling this message, "Why Sing Out?" Why should we sing out? And we'll look at this in a minute. And why should we have a song on our heart? Why should we give a testimony of God and God's goodness? I thought about why smile? Why should we smile? You know, you can communicate to people the joy of the Lord through a smile. But the title of this message is "Don't Forget to Praise God." Don't forget to praise God. He is worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 1. We'll look at three reasons why, as we look at this a song of praise, three reasons why we ought to praise God. Verse 1 of Exodus 15, the Bible says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sink into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sentest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. With the blast of Thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab. Trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord, in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Lord, we ask this morning that you would open up truth to us. I ask this morning, Lord, that you would help us to see what you see. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be drawn to you. You are the one that has the answers. Lord, thank you for your love for us and your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way in this sermon. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Change us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, I want us to see as I look at this song, as I look at this poem, I'm told this might be the oldest poem in the world. It's the first poem and first song really in the Scriptures. And as we examine it, as we see it, I want us to see, number one, it is a song of affirmation. It is a song of affirmation. When I praise God, praise affirms faith. Look at verse number one. We see the word then. The Scripture says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. It was when they were delivered that they could sing. It was their salvation that put a song in their heart. Up until this point, all we hear of them is sorrows and moaning and groaning, but God delivered. God parted the Red Sea. God, they walked upon it on dry ground, and no more would they be faced with the Egyptians, and would they be faced with Pharaoh. It is a song that affirmed Moses' faith. One commentator said it was not until, as saved people, they found themselves surrounded by the fruits of God's salvation that the triumphal hymn burst forth from the whole redeemed assembly. You see, God delivered them. You know, Egypt is a picture of the world. God delivered them from Egypt. He delivered them from the Egyptians. He delivered them from Pharaoh. They experienced deliverance. If you're saved here this morning, you have been set free. You have been delivered. God has prepared for you a home in heaven for all eternity. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The day you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you recognized that you were a sinner and you were in need of a Savior. You recognized that because of your sin, you would spend eternity in hell. And you recognized that Jesus died on Calvary's cross in your place, and you placed your faith in His finished work. The Bible says you became a child of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Do you know that your deliverance or salvation should put a song in your heart? You may have challenges today. You may have health issues today. You may have financial challenges. You may have burdens at work. You may have burdens in your home. But the fact of the matter is, because Jesus saved me, because I know that someday I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with Him, there ought to be a song in my heart. As we look at this song, as we look at the affirmation of the faith of Moses, Moses says this in verse number 2, the Lord is, and I want you to see some of these personal pronouns, the Lord is my strength. He has become my salvation. He is my God. The aspect of I will exalt Him, the aspect of praise coming from the heart of Moses, that his praise affirmed, hey, this is my God, I'm His, and He's mine. I think sometimes as Christians, our focus is on the wrong thing. The songwriter wrote, O happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice until its rapture's all divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. The fact is, you may not have everything in your life going the way that you want it to be going, but if you're saved, you can sing, I'm His and He's mine. You can sing, hey, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. A number of years ago in one of the churches I worked in, we had a head usher, and the head usher was probably in his late 60s, early 70s, and I think he was the head usher for the past, 50 years. But every day, every service, this man would walk around the lobby of the church, and he would say hi, and he'd smile, and he'd say hi to people as they came in. Whenever I asked him how he was doing, he always responded in the same way. I'd ask him Sunday morning. I'd ask him Sunday night. I'd ask him Wednesday night. Sometimes it wasn't at church. I'd see him outside of church, and I'd ask him when I see him in the hallway. Sometimes I'd ask him if I saw him at a church function, and I'd say, how you doing? He always responded with the exact same word, rejoicing. You know, there were times in his life when I knew that he had needs. There were times in his life when I knew that he was hurting physically. There were times in his life when I knew that things weren't going like he would have liked them to be going. But he always responded, I'm rejoicing. You say, how could he do that? Because he knew that no matter what he faced in life, he had a Savior. He knew that no matter what he faced in life, this world wasn't his home. It wasn't all just here and now. It was there and then. And as Christians, we ought to be people of praise and thankfulness to God for our personal salvation. It affirms faith. You're here this morning, and Matt gets up and he says, okay, turn to hymn number 56. And you open up the hymn book, and maybe inside, I don't really feel like singing. I work with young people. You know, in their mind, sometimes it's not cool to sing. You stand there and it'll look like this number. You know, there's a problem. There's a problem with a young person's heart that won't get a hymn book and sing praises to his God for what God's doing in his life. You see, I know you don't have everything the way exactly you want it to, but you have God. You're on your way to heaven. And you have a Savior that loves you. You know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, you can pray and your prayers can move the hand of the one that rules the world. Hey, our praise affirms our faith. It is a song of affirmation. And Moses said, hey, this is my God, and my God did some things in my life. By the way, if God is doing things in your life, you ought not be shy or afraid to say, hey, here's what God's doing in my life. The Kitchell used to say, God, if you do it, I'll tell it. That aspect of praising an affirming faith. When you sing in church, you tell others, hey, he's mine, I'm his. The disciples said what in the book of Acts? We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. You know what it is to hear news and you want to share it with everybody else. Did you hear this? Did you know this? Do you know there's a sale here or there or whatever? Hey, did you know that Jesus is alive? God's not dead. I know we hear news all the time that makes you think that maybe God's not on the throne. But God is on the throne. And if God is at work in my life, if God is showing me things from the Word of God, and God is real to me, and I have a close relationship with God, and I recognize what I have in my salvation, hey, it's going to come out. It's going to overflow. I think Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet Earth. We ought to be happy. We ought to rejoice and praise God. Number two, as I look at this song, I see this song as a song of adoration. And I want us to see, secondly, as we look at this, not only does praise affirm faith, but praise honors God. Notice in this psalm, in this song, and we'll look at a number of more verses here, a number of verses in just a minute, but notice the emphasis, the focus on this psalm. The Lord is my strength. He is my God. The Lord, verse 3, is a man of war. And the emphasis in this psalm, verse 6, O Lord, is thy right hand, O Lord. The emphasis is on what God is doing. Praise honors God. It is not a focus on Moses. Moses gives credit where credit is due. Moses, as he praises God, he praises and honors God because God is the one that did the work. Sometimes a God does the work and we like to take credit for it. F.B. Meyer said this, "There is no thought of any but the Lord throughout the entire piece. The song was sung to him and about him. It is he that had triumphed gloriously and cast horse and rider into sea. It was his right hand that had dashed in pieces the enemy. It was because he blew with his wind that they sank as lead in the mighty waters. It was through the greatness of his excellency that they were overthrown who had risen against him. All the honors of the victory were reverently laid at his feet." Moses is not once referred to. It wasn't Moses' thinking or Moses' strategy. It wasn't how Moses lifted that rod and getting it just right. No. It was God. And all the praise and glory goes to God. And sometimes we like to take the praise and glory to us. We like to think that we're something. Do you know honoring God should be the goal of our lives? The Westminster Catechism said what? The chief end of man is to bring glory to God. I was with my son. I asked him a trick question the other day. Stephen and I were going to the hospital or make a visit or something. I think it was Stephen. And I said, hey, do you agree with this statement? I think it's what I said, something to the effect. I wanted to get into this kind of discussion. Do you agree with the statement, win the lost at any cost? That was a trick question. I said, do you think that the chief end of man is to see people saved? Tell he was thinking. You know, the chief end of man is to glorify God. When a soul gets saved, God is glorified. But to say to win the lost at any cost could be at the compromise of the glory of God. You see, God's foremost attribute is his holiness. And we want to see people saved, but we want to see God honored and glorified. You say, what are you getting at? Some of the reason why we wouldn't cooperate with somebody that doesn't preach the same gospel that we preach or that's found in the Word of God, you may say, well, somebody might get saved. Some of the reason why we wouldn't embrace the world's music and put it into the church. You say, yeah, but somebody could come and somebody could hear the gospel and somebody could get saved. And yes, God works in spite of us, but worldly music doesn't glorify God. You see, a theology that's not consistent with the Word of God doesn't glorify God. And when we make the glory and honor and giving the right opinion to God, when we make that the foundation, obviously it's going to result in seeing people saved. And seeing people saved brings glory to God. But we don't want to embrace a philosophy that says, hey, we're going to see people saved at any cost, even at the cost of compromise, somebody will get saved. Honoring God, bringing glory to God, ought to be the goal of our lives. If you look at this, you'll see the word Lord 14 times. You'll see references, personal pronouns, which refer to Jehovah, are used over 30 times, which means God is spoken of between 40 and 50 times in the 21 verses. Moses doesn't speak of himself at all. See, we like to get a little word in for me a little bit. We like to get a little credit for me. We like to get a little pat on the back. No, life's not about us. Life is about him. As we look at this, he's praised for his victory. God is victorious. You see verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He's my God. I'll prepare him a habitation. I'll exalt him. He's praised, verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots. And he just talks about all the victory that God provided as his chariots and his host he cast into the sea. We see also in this song of praise an emphasis not only on the fact that God is victorious, but we see an emphasis on God's power. As we look at these verses, we can see over and over, and with verse 8, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. God's victorious, God's omnipotent, God is deliverance. He is the deliverer, as he again emphasizes the delivering power of God. God is superior. Look at verse number 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praising, doing wonders? You think about God's power and all that we have at our fingertips and all that God has done and how great a God He is. The Bible says in Numbers 11 and verse number 1, we'll get to some of these stories as we continue looking at the children of Israel, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. You do a study and you look at what they complained about, and they complained about food, they complained about safety, they complained about water. Food, safety, and water. You make a list of the things that you and I complain about. I'm sure everybody today, unless you're fasting or whatever, this week, let me say, you had food at your fingertips, you had water, and you didn't have a nation or armies coming at your door with rifles about ready to kill you. No. And God said, when they complained about these things, it really displeased the Lord. I wonder how often God is grieved and displeased with us when we complain about the rain, they burnt the toast, I got stuck in traffic, you know, whatever. He took the big piece of cake. We really got some serious things to complain about, you know. We got two cakes and I didn't get what I wanted. I mean, you know. Praise honors God. And Moses was about honoring God. Moses was about giving glory to God. As a Christian, we bear the name of Jesus Christ. And people get their opinion of God from us. The word glory, to give the right opinion of God. We are light in a dark world. Honor, glorify the Lord. Praise honors God. And Moses was about that. And let me say this. You find yourself complaining. You find yourself complaining at the workplace and you're a Christian and they're not. What kind of opinion do they think of your God? I don't know if I want what they have. Their God, they're miserable. And Christians walk around miserable and down in the mouth and there's no answers and, oh, life's just awful, it's just terrible. Why would I want to trust God? Why would I want what you have? See, that dishonors the Lord. It makes people think God's this big. Yeah, your God's big enough to take you to heaven, but your God's not big enough to help you to be happy here on earth. Number three, as we look at this song here, I want us to see that not only is it a song of affirmation and adoration, it's a song of inspiration. And I want us to see that praise inspires others. Praise inspires others. Look at verse 14 to 16, and obviously some of this is prophetic. Verse 14, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab. A trembling shall take hold of them, and all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Look at Joshua chapter number 2. We see the fulfillment of some of this in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter number 2. The Israelites are outside of Jericho. The spies go in, Joshua chapter 2, and verse number 9. And Rahab, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see, he mentions that God would give them protection. As we look at this and we think about testimony and we think about praising God, we see in Joshua chapter number 2, the people said, hey, we heard what God did. And because we heard what he did in parting the Red Sea, we were scared to death, recognizing that we're defeated. We're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. And we think about when we give testimonies of the protection of God. When we give testimonies, we look in the Word of God and we see what God did for his people. And then we have a testimony time and someone says, hey, I want to praise the Lord because He did this in my life. He protected me in this way. I don't know about you, but I hear stories of God working. How many of you like George Mueller stories? Yeah. See, man, George Mueller stories make you want to pray. Make you say, hey, they inspire, they motivate to say, you know what, if God did it for him, God will do it for me as well. And God promises his protection, and they look at that and say, hey, protection, God promises that he looks at this and he predicts God will give them victory. Thou shalt, verse 17, bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place of the Lord which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord which thy hands have established. God will bring you into the land. Theodore Epp said, but even through the Israel, even though the Israelites faltered and failed, God remained true to his promises. It is interesting to note, however, that the Israelites sang their victory song even before they took the first step into the wilderness. They were aware of God's promises, so that this time they were confident of victory, even though later they faltered. We, too, need to be assured of the trustworthiness of God. If we are to progress in the Christian life by growing to spiritual maturity, how wonderful it is to recognize that God knows the end as well as the beginning. So we may, like Israel, sing the song of victory even before we take the first steps into the wilderness of future experiences in our daily walk. What are we saying? When we praise inspires other people. Somebody says they go out and they say, hey, we're gonna pass out some tracts. They go out and pass the tracts and they knock on the door or whatever, and somebody trusts Christ as Savior. I don't know about you, but that inspires and motivates me to do what? To go out and tell people about Jesus. By the way, I had this thought. If you knew today at 1 o'clock that you were going to give a tract to somebody and you knew that person was going to get saved, would you do it? Now, before you nod your head real big, let me tell you something. Another trick question, right? If I knew for sure that the first person I met when I went into the parking lot of Giant, I'm going to give him a track, he's going to pray right there and trust Christ. If I knew that I'd go do it. But you know what God says? God says his word does not return void. And that's a promise of God. And we know that if I pass out a gospel tract, whether I see it or don't see it, we do know what? That God is at work and that God will take his word and he will use it in people's lives. You see, praise inspires others. Why? You see, why sometimes do we have a testimony service whose testimonies are encouraging to one another? Is any of you human being like me? We got any human beings out there? Yeah, we're in this together. We're serving God together. And when I praise God and testify, and we look at this psalm, and it's a song, right? I guess it could be a song. But anyway, when we look at what Moses says, his praise, hey, it inspires others to do what's right, to walk with the Lord. And then verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever and ever. F.B. Meyer said this, so does God turn our anxieties into occasions of singing? Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The redeemed obtain gladness and joy. God puts gladness in their hearts and new songs in their mouth. Long years of waiting and preparation and obedience shall be rewarded at last, as certainly as God is. If not before, yet surely when the eternal morning is breaking on the shores of time, we shall join in shouts of victory which shall awaken eternal echoes as with myriads beside we sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Are you a person of praise? We don't have enough time to go into all of this, but I tell you, Moses' song here is encouraging in so many ways. It's not just, hey, okay, the Red Sea's over, let's go ahead and keep moving forward. It's, Lord, let's stop. Let's stop. By the way, you even see Moses as a talent, a lot more talents. You know, he couldn't talk in Exodus 4. You look at this song and, yeah. In any event, let's stop and let's just praise God. Let's stop and let's just focus on God, on who he is, and, and what he's done and how he's delivered us. I think we would be good in our Christian lives sometimes to just take a step. Let me challenge you with this. Try to take a half an hour or 15 minutes and don't ask God for anything. Try to praise him. See how long that prayer time goes. Yeah, you'll be catching yourself. Oops, sorry. You know, sorry. God wants to do stuff for us. We need to stop. We need to say, God, you're great. God, and by the way, when God answers our prayer and when God does things for us, we can take a step back. We need to say, God, you did it. You're great. You deserve all the honor, glory, praise. You are it in my life. God is honored when we praise him. May God help us to have that testimony, that deacon rejoicing. Not because of me or anything that I've done, but because of God and because of what he has done. Praise affirms faith. Praise honors God. And praise inspires others. May God help us to be people of praise. Lord,